Even in death, it is possible to reduce our carbon footprint. Most Holy Redeemer Cemetery in Niskayuna, operated by Albany Diocesan Cemeteries, has set aside 20,000 square feet of undeveloped space for 260 natural graves, becoming the first Catholic cemetery in New York State to offer green burial space. The cemetery joins about 70 others in the U.S., taking advantage of this rapidly growing trend. Aside from Jewish or Muslim cemeteries, where burial practices often coincide with green burial rules. The Niskayuna space abuts a natural preserve. Groundskeepers will mow the area only once a year, so the wildflower seeds planted there will spread. Skipping pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers will promote the growth of shrubs and flowers and attract birds, bees, butterflies, and more. Maureen McGinnis is Family Services Manager at Most Holy Redeemer Cemetery, and she joins us to talk about green burials this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of how this particular cemetery came to this conclusion and wanted to make this a reality for people.
About 2 to 3 years ago, our executive director started getting phone calls asking, is this something that we offer? Is this a possibility? And after a while, it became clear that this question was being asked over and over again. So it was something that he investigated. Our cemetery was chosen because of the location. The diocese has 18 properties under the Diocesan Cemeteries Office. But Most Holy Redeemer was chosen. The location, we have 48 undeveloped acres. We abut a natural area. We're central to the Northway and to the Thruway, so it's convenient to get there. So that's how it was. Our location was chosen.
As far as the of what makes a green cemetery, what criteria must you follow?
Well, the Green Cemetery or Green Burial Council has its rules and regulations, and that is something that you would buy into. You would pay to go through the process of being certified, just like a school might go through Middle States to be accredited. At this point in time, we're not going through that process because some of the things that they require, we might not be able to honor. We want people to still be able to have the Order of Christian Funerals, and in some cases that would mean there would still be embalming. If your son lives in California and is going to be present for the funeral and can't get here in the time period that would allow you to not be embalmed, that all of that would preclude us from green burial certification. What we're saying in our natural area is that there'll be no burial vault. The embalming is up to you. It's up to each individual. And the vehicle which you would be buried in is up to you. You can have a simple wooden casket that has no metal features. Some people call that a Jewish casket. You can be in a burial shroud, or you could be in a willow basket. So those are the things that make this section different. The burial vault is probably the biggest difference. You will return to nature much more soon, quickly, than you would if you didn't have a burial vault.
Why do we have the standards that we have now, which make those vaults necessary in the first place?
Mm-hmm. The burial vaults are something that are required by cemeteries, and it has to do with keeping the ground even, so there's not sinkholes and that type of thing for when people are visiting, to make it more safe for people who are visiting and to make it safe for doing the burial. With the burial vault, you know the ground is not going to settle a dramatic amount. Consumers often like the idea of the burial vault because they don't like the idea of large amounts of dirt crushing the body of their deceased loved one, and the burial vault prevents that. But the requirement is really a safety one from a cemetery perspective.
What fascinates me about the way we grieve, the way we mourn, the way we return, however that is, is fascinating to me because I don't really like any of the options,
right.
I'm not real thrilled with cremation. I'm not real thrilled with the idea of going into a casket and then, you know, being put into a concrete vault. But this does seem this natural way. I assume that's what appeals to people.
Right.
But we're going back to what it used to be.
Right. I think And this is just for mainstream America, it's going back. But for some cultures, this is how it's always been.
Yes.
For Amish, for Jewish people, for Muslims, this is the way they've always done it.
Right.
And in certain parts of Europe, this is the way they've always done it. So it's more of a challenge for mainstream America to get on board with this.
When we talk about, you mentioned this issue of embalming, and because normally we have about, what, a 10-day window? From the time that the person is embalmed to the time that they, I believe,
correct, yep,
to go and must be buried. And so under this, you have given them the option that they can be embalmed.
Correct.
And yet that still, they can still be buried in this green way, even if they have been embalmed.
Right.
And is there an environmental concern about that, of those materials then going into the ground?
No. Formaldehyde, which is the main ingredient for embalming fluid, is naturally occurring. We have bits of that in our own bodies that we produce.
Yeah.
And it's in a lot of things in the environment. The biggest concern for formaldehyde are the people who are working with formaldehyde. So the people who have the greatest concern would be the funeral directors, the embalmers. They're the ones who have safety concerns. When it breaks down into oxygen and carbon, and there is no evidence that plants absorb formaldehyde or animals. It's something unique to humans and the air. So we're not concerned about the formaldehyde being in the natural area. There are other green alternatives for embalming, and families could also choose to use those.
And when it comes to where practicality and religion collide, in the sense of what we want but yet what is accepted by our religious choice, it seems by just listening to what is being offered here, that there is a great deal of choice, and that maybe some of those issues are being honored.
Yeah, we're hoping to allow families to do what's right for them in their traditions, and certainly what we would like people to do in the Catholic Church. One of the shroud companies that have contacted us explained that their shrouds are built with a wooden support in the back that would allow the body to still go into a Catholic church. And it has the handles built in for the pallbearers, and then it has the lowering mechanism, and all of it's biodegradable. So it's not just something that the cemetery struggles with. It's something that the whole industry is looking at, that people are still going to want to have a service. And how do we get the body there for the service? We can still do that. And our goal for this isn't to just have people die in their home and then just show up at the cemetery. We want the ritual. The ritual helps with the grieving and helps you adjust to your life without the person there and the community to provide support to you.
What's the response been?
Every day since June, when we announced that we were ready to make sales, there have been calls, and we get people walking in. The majority of the people are excited about this, want this. You know, I'm sure there are people who could care less. There have been some people who are very upset by this, misunderstanding that we are changing the whole cemetery and we're not allowing traditional burial. And that's not the case. This is just one small section. But there are people who are upset. The unexpected call I got was from a woman who's Catholic and she's married to a Jewish man. She cannot be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And up until this point, he couldn't have a Jewish burial in a Catholic cemetery. This is their first option to be together with their faith traditions. He is welcome to be buried in the cemetery, and he can still have what goes on with his religion, and she can be buried right next to him. So that is one of the things I think that is most exciting for interreligious couples.
It does. You know, when you think about things like that, of our religious traditions telling us that we can't be together in death, I mean, and I don't mean to offend anyone. I mean, I'm Catholic, and I you know, abide by many of the traditions. But I have to say, you know, that's just, to me, silly.
Right.
And so I don't know how you so you look at something like this and you think, well, this is what I was getting at earlier. This is a step in the right direction of,
right.
Of allowing people to be able to. I mean, in our town we have there's a Presbyterian side and a Catholic side, and just that there's that segmentation is
right.
odd to me.
Right. And those, I think that comes from our history, that we were all separated, even by parishes within the Catholic Church. You would have one parish have a cemetery and then the next parish would have one. So this is nice that we are incorporating many different interreligious wedding marriages and different beliefs within the Catholic Church. There are certainly people in the Catholic Church who strive to be good stewards of the environment every day. So this is an opportunity for them to continue to do that in death. There are other people who are Catholic, and that's not their issue. They're not striving to be good stewards of the environment and the earth. So they might not be interested in this.
When it comes to, have you actually had one, a green burial yet?
No, we've had, everybody who's purchased has been pre-purchased. They've pre-need, pre-planning. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the way to go.
Right. And I think, if anything...
Good goodness gracious, do that.
That is one side effect of this that we weren't expecting. Just having this out there has caused people to start talking about what they do want and they don't want. And it's been a way for people to bring up a difficult conversation.
Absolutely.
You know, you can say, hey, Mom, did you hear what they're doing over at Most Holy Redeemer? What do you think about this? And then you find out... No, I want to be in the mausoleum, you know, buried in my red suit, and that's that, and that's what I want, and you will call Father so-and-so at the moment I start to take turn. So that's good that people, it's caused people to talk about what they want and what they don't want, and I think the most important thing for anybody is to make these decisions while you're still healthy.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to talk about this, but make those decisions, put them in a red folder in your third desk drawer, and let people know that they're there. Don't make the decisions and put them in your will, because that's going to be opened after you're buried, and maybe you'll be buried by being cremated and scattered, and you wanted to be buried in a mass at the cathedral. So, you know, let's talk about it while you're alive. Make the decisions while you're not crying and you're not grieving, because we're asking, a funeral is expensive, and you're making major decisions under duress. That's not a good thing to do. So it's kind to families to pre-plan.
It was a question I was going to ask you. Is there a price difference?
There are price differences, yes. If you were to go, and I'm going to compare this to what we call a shrine or a marker section, where you have a flat marker. The reason I'm comparing it, in a shrine or marker section, you can buy just one grave. If you go in a monument section, you have to buy multiple graves, and that has to do with the depth that the monument needs to go in. And so a shrine section, the grave spaces range from $750 to $1,000. The marker, which you can purchase from us, or you could purchase from a monument company, the basic price is $1,625 for a marker. You would purchase your vault, which is required in those sections, from a funeral home director, and the average price is $2,000. In the natural burial section, you're purchasing for $1,500. It includes a stone, which will mark your grave, and at a later time, you can have your name etched into it. So $1,500 is what the natural burial space and memorialization costs. A traditional burial in the shrine section is $4,625 if you go with a $1,000 grave.
So it's a cheaper, cheaper option.
Now, that doesn't get into, there's other things. Like, you know, in New York State, you have to be transported by a funeral home director.
Right.
You know, there will be other costs involved in your funeral. And you also still have the opening and closing of the grave, which is the same no matter if you're in the natural or traditional section.
Right.
But that price changes. You can't prepay. You know, if you live 20 more years, I can't tell you what it's going to cost to open your grave.
My father just passed away, and we went through, you know, and there's this whole... I mean, it's a five-page form of all the stuff and the fees and what you're paying and you know. But he was transported from the funeral home to the church, which I believe is about an 18th of a mile.
Oh, no.
And I was just very surprised by how much that cost.
Right.
But there is a point where you say, can we just put them in the pickup? We'll just bring them right. We'll have them over there in an hour.
Right. Yeah.
But that's, you know, we follow the rules and that's what we have to do.
Right. And that list is required by the state.
Absolutely.
It has to be,
it's required by the state. And also it's standard, right?
Right.
It's pretty much the list that you would have would be the list that any other funeral director would have.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So, which gives it a uniformity. Maureen McGinnis is Family Services Manager at Most Holy Redeemer Cemetery. Cemetery in Niskayuna. I thank you so much for coming in and, describing this to us. And I wish you all the luck in the world and the great work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, Maureen McGinnis is Family Services Manager at Most Holy Redeemer Cemetery in Niskayuna. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.